from the lovely, sunny nation of Sri Lanka. Yep, it is an island, and as an insular place, all kinds, you get a nice microcosm of the world in this place, and all that it is, and all that it's cracked up to be. You know, it's funny, because, you know, you get to other countries and other places around the world, and maybe they polish it up a little bit more, but it's the same system everywhere that you go. So, you know, as a follower of Christ, it shouldn't surprise you, the things that you encounter while you're here in this life, because you know that light and dark exist simultaneously in this dimension. And that's going to be the way that it is until God changes it. So, you know, there's that clash that's there. And the clash between opposites, it's part of what makes us stronger. It's part of what quickens us. It's part of why God causes all things to work together for the good of those called according to His purpose. That, you know, He causes the attacks of the enemy, the things that are meant for evil, all of that to work together for good. Now, sometimes we don't see what that is. For, you know, 6 months, 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, 50 years, maybe even past our lifetime. Because like Jesus, a lot of people that went before Him were looking forward to His time, but they didn't quite get to see it. They didn't get to see the fulfillment of all that God had promised. But they were expecting it. They were looking forward to it. They were hoping for it. It had been put in their hearts, and they had eager anticipation for it. But no, it was God's timing. And if you can accept the place that you play and the role that you play in God's fulfillment of His plan and divine purpose in the earth, when you realize it's about Him and not you. But then also when you are consummated with Him, there is no separation. You and the Father are one. Even as Jesus Christ said that I am the Father are one, let Him be one in us, Father. And so that was Jesus' prayer, John 17, I believe. So, yeah, I mean, there's no separation. There's no division. There's no. So then you start to say, okay, then if you have to play a role that's not based on you as an individual and you separate as a person, but you as part of a larger plan and purpose of God being unfolded in the earth, knowing that, you know, He's the one that ultimately has to approve of your life. He's the one that ultimately has to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. That's what you want. And in that fulfillment of Him saying that to you, that's your ultimate desire. So if it's the case that, you know, maybe while you're here, that it's not going to be a lot about you as an individual. Because, you know, I think that's one of the problems that we end up getting, especially when you live in a Western society. In a Western society, that whole desire of me, myself, and I, that whole desire of self-importance, you as a person, you as an individual, which, look, you are important, all right? You are essential. God loves you so much that He would die on the cross for you. So that's how, you know, wonderful you are. At the same time, you have to get past yourself. You have to get past that thing that is, you know, what the world pushes, which is what ends up killing you and separating you from God. Look, you as an individual, apart from God, what did Jesus say? Apart from me, ye can do nothing. So apart from Him, you can do nothing. You can do no thing. Nothing you can be done apart from Him. And yet, what the world wants to do, that's why the world wants so much to separate you from God. Because if it can separate you from God and get you to be selfish, self-serving, you as an individual, apart from Him, you can do nothing. Your works are now worthless. They're just monuments to yourself. And that self that you are, once that the world will brush you aside, throw you under the bus, cremate and throw everything away, and they will forget about you so fast. They'll do it while you're still alive. How many celebrities 5 years ago. Just look through the celebrities of 5 years ago and look at the new ones that have been cycled in. Yeah, there's a few old hands they keep around for a little bit longer just to get people thinking that they can have some longevity. They do that on purpose. But, you know, by and large, they move through them pretty darn quickly. Apart from the Father, you can do nothing. Apart from consummation with the Spirit of God, you can do nothing. And because the enemy of your soul knows that, his desire is to get you apart from him. And how does he get you apart from him? He tells you to save yourself. He tells you that you're worth it. I'm just going through some taglines. Have it your way. Or the satanic mantra, do what thou wilt. You, as a separate entity, apart from God, in your fall, in the fall, in that which took place in Adam, they tell you, instead of accepting the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ, instead of accepting what it is that he did for you, embrace the fall. Live the fall. Take the fall to another level. Go down 3-4 more notches. Become as base as possible. Become as reprobate as possible. Become as twisted as possible so that you can't even recognize you as a human being. You made in the image and likeness of God. Throw away that which is divine and embrace that which is carnal and base and animalistic. Am I sounding like the stuff that you watch on TV now? Am I sounding like the people that are propagated by their system? You know, the thing is too, what's amazing is as carnal and base as they are, when they get together and they talk about it, they make a joke about it. It's something that's funny to people these days. You know, it used to be that when people would catch a sexually transmitted disease, that they were ashamed about it. That they were, that it was something that was just like because they didn't feel good about that. And nowadays it's a joke. Nowadays it's something that people just toss around. They put it on their Facebook status. I mean, look, the world is on a grease pole to hell, the world system is. And what they're twisting people and turning people into, you have to understand that there's a need to push back. There's a need to escape the corruption that's in the world through lust. And where does that escape come from? The Lord Jesus Christ empowered and enabled that escape. He allows for that escape. He allows so that you do not have to be a bond slave to the world. You don't have to be bound to the world. He gives you the power by His Holy Spirit to step out of it. You know, when people read the scriptures, the Holy Spirit has to open your eyes to that. This is again why a worldler will read the scriptures and never, ever, ever understand them. Because the Holy Spirit is that key to unlocking the scriptures. You know, just like with armies and military, you know, they had all kinds of ways that they encrypt their communication so that the enemy can never understand it. And so like during the Second World War, a little history for you guys, they used, for the Americans, they used the Allies. They used the Navajo language as code talkers. So when they were fighting against the Germans, so they used the Native American language as code talkers to be able to communicate back and forth from the front lines to those that were making administrative and strategic decisions, you know, within their own headquarters. And the Germans and those nations that were fighting against the Americans, they could never, ever break that code. Never could they break that code. And they tried and they tried, but they could never figure it out. They didn't understand what they were saying or what it was going on. The Holy Spirit is the key to understanding the scriptures. And without the understanding that's given by the Holy Spirit, you won't understand the scriptures. It will just be stories and fables and things that people then just look and they'll see bits and pieces here and there. They'll wonder things. They'll even think that things are contradictory. Which, what's funny is, if you walk in the Spirit, it actually is completely seamless. The whole thing comes together perfectly. You see how each scripture ties together and God links them for you. And it's a tapestry that's beautiful. Whereas when the world reads the scriptures, it just looks like this smorgasbord of stories, and they can't quite understand, they can't get it. Because the Bible itself is beautiful. The words themselves are woven together by the Spirit of the living God. And that's why, too, even one word will unlock something else. The different things will tie together. And you will be reading the Scripture, and God will quicken you by His Spirit to something else in the Scripture that unlocks it. It's beautiful. So, you know, the life of the Spirit is, He constantly is unlocking that instruction for you along the way to help you, to quicken you, to empower you, to enable you to walk out the journey, to give you the rhema that you need for this day. Now, I think we might have mentioned this before, but we'll just say it again. The difference between the rhema and the logos of the Word of God, and this is stuff that's out there, very true though, but you can find this in other places as well, is, okay, the logos of God is God's Word, God's complete divine Word that He's put there and He's put in place. And, you know, that is there, it's existing, it's true, He knows what He's doing with it. And now the Rhema of God is that spoken Word of God, that daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. That's that Word that you need for today, for where you are today. So right now you're here, you're in the middle of a situation, you've got something going on, and God, you need that word for today that applies to your situation and your life situation. And this is why too, you can read a passage of scripture 6 times, and then the 7th time on a different day you'll read it, and God will speak something completely new, completely fresh to you. That is a gift of God. That is the Rhema of God being unfolded. That is God speaking that which you need to you right now. So, that's the difference between those two. And to understand too, that what you need today is different than what you needed yesterday. You don't need to be living on, if you're a baby, you don't need to be living on breast milk forever. Time should come that you should be growing up. A time should come that you should be having moved on to meat, or having moved on to something with substance. I saw some video recently about the meat industry. I'm almost feeling like cutting out some of that just because of how they make it. Oh man, it's commercial agriculture gets kind of nasty. Pay a little bit of attention, you guys, to what you put into your body. Because your physical being, as far as on that level, your physical being, your physical body, what you put inside is going to affect your mind, your thoughts, your processes, how you feel on a day-to-day basis, and even chemically will affect you. So you want to be mindful of what you put into your body. Just a side note, lots and lots and lots of information out there. Let us know if you guys want us to say a little bit more about that. Start putting some things out on those areas. Because, boy, I tell you, you've got to be mindful of that. Because in doing so, you know, there's a reason the enemy tries to attack the food supply as well. Both on the battlefield and both in day-to-day life. The enemy tries to attack the food supply for a few reasons. And one thing, too, is to poison people in this day and age, to get them to a place where they're weak, they're sick, they can't think straight, they're broken down, they're susceptible to disease, they're pliable. You know, the enemy of your soul works to do that. And you've got to understand that that's also part of the game that's at hand, part of the strategy of the enemy, and you can do things about it. These are things that are not outside of your control. You can control your diet a whole lot more. You can control that which you eat. You can control that which is in front of you. Actually, if you look at it, you can actually eat for a whole lot cheaper if you're just conscious about it than eating a lot of processed foods. Hey, general rule of thumb when it comes to food is the closer that you can get to the source, the better. The closer you can get to the earth, the better. The further that you can get away from pesticides and processing, the better for you. Stay away as much as you can from that which man has gone and messed up for profit. Rather, look to try to get to as close as you can to the source, to that which is God's original design. Because God's original design had life and peace. Man's meddling has, in many, many cases, resulted in a lot of pain and suffering and long-term consequences for short-term gains. You know, usually what happens is man moves forward on something because they think that there's some good potential short-term gain on it. But then as time goes on, they realize, oh my gosh, what did I do? So this is why, you know, God put so many things in the Word to help us. You know, for the farmer out there, there was a reason why God told people to let the land lay bare for a window of time. You know, the seventh year, the Sabbath, to give it this certain break. You know, and then the year of Jubilee, all of that. The reason, too, is that the land replenishes itself. When it has that time, when it has that break, it will heal itself. It will rest and it'll come back stronger. But in the modern day, they just keep taking and taking and taking and nonstop. And then when the land starts getting a little bit fallow or a little bit barren, they then just try to push more out of it through chemicals and everything else. And eventually, it's so messed up, it won't work anymore. You know? I mean, God put things there in place. You know, actually, if the world was managed according to God's word, God's design, and if the children of God were the ones that were actually able to, on a large scale, put forward that which is true and in His word, you would have sufficient resources to feed the entire world. You would have systems that worked. You would have people put in situations of life where they would have the opportunity to walk in a true and a living relationship with their living God and also do that which is very much fulfilling to them. Very much putting their hand to something that they enjoy. You know how? You know my grandfather one time told me. He said, "Govinda," he said, "if you find a job you love, you'll never work a day in your life." And you know it's true. Anybody that does something that they love and that they're passionate about, it is not work. Though they work, it's not work. Because it's a passion. It comes from within. It's that which is, you know, in the core of their being to do, and they enjoy it. You know, I tell you what, with Faith Mix and what we do here, for the guys that are involved, this for us is very much a passion. Yes, God has us do a lot of work with it. There's a lot of activity that goes into us being able to bring this to you. But also with it too, it's a passion. It's something that God has put within, and it's something that God drives us, and it's on your behalf that we are up till 2 and 3 in the morning when we could have gone to bed at 12:31. It's on your behalf that we do that. And we do that because we love you guys. We do that because God's given us something for you, and we need to get it out. We need to get it to you so that you have what you need as well to be out there to strengthen others and to be a blessing to somebody else. Look, God blesses you to make you a blessing. So when He's put something in your heart, use it. Use it. Don't let that thing sit idly. You know, we've been publishing on here for a long time, but it's only in the maybe the last 6 months to 1 year that this has really taken off so much, and this word has gotten out to so many more people, and it's just mushrooming right now. I mean, it's cool, but we just still do the same thing that we did before. But, you know, one thing that started with all of this, too, is just, look, God put something in your heart, just move with it. And never despise small beginnings. Never despise the small starts. You know, Moses started with a burning bush and a stick. You know, don't despise the small start. You know, Gideon started just in a wine press, you know, hiding from his enemies. But these guys believed God. When you believe God, it's accounted unto you as righteousness. Even as Abram believed God, the father of the faith, he believed God. Even when God said, look, this is going to happen with you. And he turned around and he was floored, but he believed him. When God said you're going to have a child, he believed him. And in believing God, it was counted unto him as righteousness. And when the circumstances went against him. I mean, one point, they said, you know, the guys that he was staying in the area with, they took his wife away. It's hard to become the father of many nations when you don't have a wife. But God intervened on his behalf. God went, and even the king that took Abram's wife met him in the middle of the night, scared the living daylights out of the guy. God will fight for you. You trust him, and he'll take care of you. If you don't do it in your own strength, if you trust him, you put yourself out there, and you put faith into motion, you watch and see what he'll do. He will fight for you. He will fight against those that fight against you. He will turn the curses of your enemy into blessings for your life. Even as Balaam, the prophet that tried to go and curse the children of Israel. He tried to do it for money, and God kept turning it, turning the words in his mouth. Every time that he tried to do it, he ended up having to bless them. Different places, the enemy tried to take him, say, oh, well, let's try to do it from this spot. What about here? Nope, still can't do it, because this is a blessed nation. But you know what the enemy picked up along the way? And he realized that, look, if this people will trust God, if this people will go forward with what God has said, if they will trust him wholeheartedly, there is nothing that he can do against them. He cannot withstand them. The gates of hell cannot withstand against people that do that. So what did he try to do as time went on? He tried to infiltrate them. So he didn't try to attack them head on. He just tried to infiltrate them, break them down, get them to marry into the pagan way, entice them with that which was around them, appeal to their selfishness, appeal to their doubt, appeal to their faithlessness, appeal to whatever it is that they could be destroyed from within, because he could not attack the children of God externally and ever win. It wouldn't ever happen. Because God would carry his children through. God would fight on his on their behalf. But, because, like he said, that nothing can separate you from his love. That neither height nor depth, angel nor demon, power, principality, nothing can separate you from the love of God. But you can separate yourself. You can choose something else because your free will is honored. So the enemy works very hard to try to get you to choose something else, to choose a different way, to in yourself be enticed and drawn away. God's given you the power and set you free from the bondage that's in the world through lust. But then the enemy turns around and tries to get you back. And back under bondage. Back enticed again. And, you know, the enticing is escalating in the day and age that we live in. And the enemy is becoming more and more blatant because he knows his time is short. Because he knows that his time is short, he's pushing harder. But God is also, look, when the darkness is getting more and more dark, the light shines all the brighter. And the power of God will shine through you in a way as never before in the day and age that we live in right now. If you trust Him, if you hold on, if you hold on to your faith, if you hold on to that which God has put in you, if you hold on in spite of the attacks, in spite of the troubles, in spite of the difficulties, in spite of all that the enemy tries to do against you, if you hold on, God will show Himself strong on your behalf. If you cry out to Him in your dark hour, He will always come through for you. He's always come through for His people. And rather than struggle with all that's there in your own natural thinking, just put it before Him and ask Him. Ask Him to undertake for your situation. Ask Him to raise you up. You bow down before Him, but ask Him to raise you up and to give you strength once again. You know, Samson, even with all of the difficulties that he had had, and even with all the mess that he had made, Samson, when he prayed and he asked God, at the close of his life, after the enemies had blinded his eyes so he couldn't see, cut his hair and tried to make a mockery out of him, even in that state, that seemingly helpless state where nothing else could have happened good, and he prayed and asked God. He said, Lord God, would you give me my strength again one more time? Would you strengthen me one more time? Would you lift me up just one more time? And God liked that prayer. If you call out to Him with a broken and a contrite heart, He will hear your prayer. He'll answer your prayer. He will make a way where there seems to be no way. And in that, even in that situation, God allowed for Samson to destroy more of his enemies in his death than he did the whole time he was alive. Look, God has the last say in all of it. God has the last say in all that happens, all that takes place. When you put your will and you're opened up to whatever it is that He says, what He ends up doing is you become part of that last say that He has. You become part, your life becomes part of that last say that God has in all that takes place on the earth. You become a part of it. See, He wants to have, now look, the world has kicked into full gear, all right? There's a lot of things going on in the world where the world has kicked into full gear. And in a lot of ways too, they feel like, okay, you know, Samson's hair has been cut when it comes to the body of Christ. Because in a lot of places, that which started out well has been made impotent and powerless. And is trying to do things like the world and is weak. And the world is laughing at them. But there is a remnant that trusts God. There is a remnant whose hand has been stretched out to the living God, even in their weakness. And they've cried out to him and said, Lord God, would you strengthen me once again? Would you lift me up once again? Would you empower me once again, Lord God? I need you. I need you, Father. I need you to do for me what I cannot do for myself. I need you to lift me up. Raise me up. Put my feet on solid ground. Take me out of the muck and the mire, Lord. And give me victory over my enemies. Give me victory over those that would hate that word which you put in me. Lord God, show yourself strong on our behalf. When you pray like that, God moves on your behalf. And you know what? The victory that God can give can just be you overcoming the entire situation and showing that though they try to slay you, that you will still stand strong. And they cannot overcome the child of the living God. They will try to break you down. And they will do things to you that would crush them. And they see you bounce back. Each time stronger than ever. Each time more and more equipped. More and more enabled. The power of God resting upon your life. And they know that greater is he that lives in you than he that lives in the world. Than he that's in the world, they got nothing. You that walk with the King of Kings, you have everything. And they know, even in themselves, in their own systems, how empty they are. They know in themselves, in their own systems, that there's nothing there. That the arm of flesh will fail them. They know that in themselves and in their own systems, that the time is coming and has now come, where the children of God, moving in the power of the living God, will trump everything that they have. You know, it just takes a child of God trusting him, believing him, launching their life out on him. You know, very, very few in this life will actually trust him to the point that they'll go all in. And you know, it's tough because people are you know, they're surrounded by a lot of people that won't do that. And when you're surrounded by everybody else that tells you not to go that way, you start to doubt. And this is also where faith comes in. Faith is that relationship with him and you trust him. So even if you're not quite sure, you still know the one that spoke to you. And you trust him. When you trust him like that, he quickens you. He encourages you. He gives you what you need along the way. But you know what's interesting too, is then when everybody else doubts, and then some things don't quite work out, then it really becomes a test of your faith. Because now, do you still believe when everybody said it's not going to work, and now your circumstances and your situations, those too look like it's not going to work. Now what do? Will you still persist? Will you still go forward in that which you have a certainty in your heart that this is truly what God has said to you? Yeah, when you know the one that you walk with, when you know the one that you serve, there's nowhere else. There's nowhere else that you will go. There's nothing else that you want besides him. And in what he's done for you, you know that your life is all about him. Your existence is all about him. That which you desire is all about him. And there's fulfillment in that. There's no fulfillment in your own way. There's only fulfillment in him. So trust him in that. Trust him in the work that he'll do with you. Trust him in his promises for you. And just know that as you follow him, as you follow after his word, after his plan and purpose, and as you look to him, you will find the fulfillment that you're actually looking for. And your peace will come in your surrender unto Him, in your letting go of your past and in letting go of that which you hope for in the future, and just trusting Him now, walking with Him now, walking with Him in this moment. For this is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. For now, today is the day of salvation. Right now. So with that, walk in what He's given you. Walk in what He's empowered you with. Trust Him and be blessed. With that, God bless you guys. Drop us an email. Say hi. faithmix@gmail.com. We love to hear from you guys. Really, really appreciate it. You can also reach us through our Facebook page. Just search for Faith Mix, one word, and you will find us. Keep on keeping on. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.